Be seated. You may be seated. Just get the ushers ready. Hallelujah. All the ushers. I want to say that as we start the coming year, you must learn how to release more of yourself so that God can bless you tremendously. How many of you believe the word of God? Come on. Amen. That as you give, it shall be given unto you. Come on. Is it true? It is. God's word is true. So let's just believe God. Father, we are so grateful that every one of us can participate in this offering together. We sow out of a sense of worship to you, and yet also out of a sense of faith, believing that as we give, all your promises are yes and amen. That you will fulfill your word, and we give you thanks for it. Thank you for every cheerful giver. Thank you that we can use the finances to touch other nations in the world as well. Bless your people now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Hallelujah. So it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Come on, amen. You know, you are a very, very privileged people because the Bible says very clearly that no man can come into the presence of the Lord except the Spirit of the Lord is working behind the scene. So you're drawn here by divine appointment. Amen? You're very quiet this morning. Huh? I was telling one of the brothers here who's wearing a Liverpool t-shirt. Tonight Arsenal is going to play and I'm not watching. Because they're doing so badly, it's not worth watching anymore. And you all look like Arsenal fans. So sad. No, amen. Hallelujah. God is good, isn't He? He's a good God. He's a wonderful, wonderful personal God. And I wish that all of us can experience Him in a far greater dimension. I'd like the leaders to come. Let's serve communion before we do anything else. It's important for us to understand that it is because of this we can celebrate Jesus. Because of this. All right? Let the leaders come. Help us to ushers, whoever it is that's here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. All right, go ahead. Father, we are grateful. As we stand holding the emblems in our hands and begin to pass it out to each person, help us to understand that you paid a tremendous... Hallelujah. Okay, more lights, please. I think there's one more on the stage, on the backstage. Anyone here for the first time? Anyone here? Yeah, you're here for the first time. All right, first timer. Want to welcome you. Just stand. Just stand. We want to say hi. Stand so we can see. All right, welcome. Anybody else? First time, first time, first time, first time. Second time already. Welcome, welcome. Amen. You know, as we face the coming year, you know, we need to have a total change in our outlook towards life. Otherwise, we are not going to have a new year. What we're going to have is just a continuation of the old. And nothing's going to change. So we've got to really, you know, ask the Lord to give us a total change in our outlook. Our outlook determines everything that's going to happen in our life in this coming year. I am believing that this is where God says, you know, we are a tremendously blessed people. Because although the greater the darkness, the brighter the light's going to shine. Come on, amen. And this is where God draws a line. Very often in hard times, God said, I will draw a line to show you what is those who belong to me and those who do not belong to me. What's going to happen? In the midst of famine, you will be able to get God's reward. You will see the planting and the blessing of the Lord in the midst of famine. Do not allow the things of the world to determine what your whole year is going to be like. Don't say, oh, the economy is bad and this is bad. Now, everything that you're going to hear is going to be bad. Everything that you're going to hear. All right? So, that and the elections is going to make a difference in the country. No, it's not. Well, thank God we believe that certain things will change, but I'm telling you that the only thing that we need to constantly focus upon what God has promised. We sang the song, all His promises, come on. All His promises are? The word amen means let it be. Alright, let it be so. So all the promises of God are yes and amen. So we have to really, like I said the last week, when we say we're going to follow after Jesus, the thing about the Lord is He's always calling us to something better. It is not when we talk about forsaking everything else, it is so that we can receive better. Example, as long as I'm holding on to something, I cannot open it to receive something else. So when God says, follow me, the first thing is, you know, it's a wonderful thing to be following Him. Because He leads us into green pastures. He blesses our soul. Come on. He leads us into the abundance that He has for us. God is a good God. I come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. Come on, amen. That's the plan of God. However, because we hold on to so many things, that's why the call to abandon is not a call that is negative. Oh, which means I must leave everything and go as a missionary to Calcutta. No. He's saying we are holding on to that which is so temporary that what He wants to give us that will last through all eternity. Listen, He says there is no one who has forsaken father, mother, brother, sisters, or whatever he has done who will not receive in this life and in the life to come. You don't need houses and lands in heaven. Come on. All right? In this life and in the life to come, houses, land, brothers, sisters. I mean, look at my family. I've got a big family. Very soon, on Thursday, I leave for Vietnam. I've got a big family in Vietnam. It's the most wonderful thing to be a child of God because we've got extended family all over the world. Sometimes I cannot make tours, you know, like some people go on tours and that's wonderful. If you have the finances, man, go on a tour. Visit nations. Come on, amen? Wait. Go on a cruise, man. I just, one of the brothers was telling us, a friend of his has just gone on a cruise to the Antarctica. 120,000, 150,000 ringgit. Well, wonderful. You want to go see polar bears and pay that much money? Wonderful. If you have that money, wonderful. I visit so many nations, I don't have to spend that kind of money. Why? Because I stay with my family. I've got brothers, I've got sisters, and this is the life that God has called us into. So there was no, I don't think of sacrificing things when I follow Jesus. When He says forsake everything, no problem, because I know that whatever He has is better. Come on, amen. All right. So our whole outlook has to change. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He who began a work in you, come on, He will complete. Did I quote that correctly? No, I left out one word. He who began a good work in you. So the work that He's doing in our lives is a good work. It's not a bad work. Whatever He's telling us to give up, it's not something that is good for us. You know, we tell a child to let go of something because we have something better for the child. When a little baby is crawling and picks up a cockroach and wants to put that in the mouth, we don't say, never mind, go ahead, it's all right, you know. You need a little bit of, you know, cockroach now and again. It helps you develop immunity. No. We take that away and we put something else in the hand of a child. The same thing with God. Amen. Same thing with God. The more grandchildren I have, the greater I grow in my understanding of God. Every time I look into their face and I look at them, looking at me with such admiration. I like to believe that. Rocking them in my lap and putting them to sleep and they're looking at me, you know, just staring, never take the eyes off me. I move my head, they move their head, and reaching out, grabbing my finger. I mean, all these little things, you begin to think, God, how much you must love us if we were just look at you. God has got no bad plans for us. It's always good plans. Can I hear an amen? Now, this morning I want to speak on something that might help us along. Let's see if we have this on. Let's go to the book of Numbers, chapter 21. It seems like a negative message, but I pray that we will see what God wants us to see. Because The Lord wants to really lead us into the promised land. All right. Chapter 21, verses 4 through verse 9. Everybody ready to read? Ready to read? Okay, follow with this one. Don't read your version. Follow this version. Let's go. They set out from Mount Hor along the Red Sea Road, a detour around the land of Edom. But the people became impatient and discouraged because of the way that God was leading them. The people spoke against God and Moses. Why have you led us up from Egypt to die in the wilderness? There is no bread or water, and we detest this wretched food. All right, let's see the next scripture. Is there a next scripture? Should be another one. Where's the scripture? That's the scripture. Not going on. It's not. Okay. Then the Lord sent. Okay, one more time. Let's read that boldly. Then the Lord sent poisonous snakes. God did that? Yeah, God did that. All right. Among the people. And they bit them so that many Israelites died. The people then came to Moses and said, "We have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Intercede with the Lord so that he will take the snakes away from us." And Moses interceded for the people. Next scripture. Is there some more? All right, let's go. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten when he looks at it shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent, put it on a pole, and so it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. I don't know why this thing keeps going off. Okay, let's see now. All right, I want to talk about bitten, but not beaten. Now, when you look at the scripture, the word says that they were discouraged and all of that, and they spoke against the Lord. Now, the word there, is very strong language. But you begin to wonder, how is this possible that these people could get angry with God? To speak against, it's like, I broke something, I broke in pieces, and I smashed, which is the worst that it could get, right? So that's the language that they are using. God, like smashed. I sent away, I expel. So the word is expel. They spoke harshly against God. And you begin to wonder, you know, why, how could these people begin to speak out against God? There is a scripture, in fact, it is a psalm written by the sons of Korah, who are part of the traveling group. One of the scriptures they read, they wrote was this: "Let God arise," come on, you know the scripture? "Let his enemies be scattered, let those who hate him flee before him." Now, you cannot hate someone you do not know. You only hate someone that you do know. And that person has to be someone that you know intimately for you to develop a hatred against them. So that's the kind of language that is being used. They got angry and they spoke harshly against God. These were the same ones who just a little earlier had grabbed tambourines and sang a song before the Lord. "The horse and the rider thrown into the sea." We used to sing that, you know, "The Lord our God, and I will sing gloriously, for he has triumphed over them. The horse and the rider he threw into the sea." Wonderful chorus. And they were singing and dancing, so the dancers now become those who damn the Lord. How is it possible for people to turn from dancing and rejoicing one moment to damning and condemning God? Is it possible? Now, the scripture tells us why. First of all, we come to this, the way. The people became impatient and discouraged because of the way that God was leading them. Now, when we preach a message like, "Take up your cross and follow me," you know, and talk about forsaking everything else, some people can become very discouraged, disappointed, and think, "I cannot get into this. This is too heavy for me." So we become discouraged. We become disappointed with God because of the way. There is this teaching that if you have faith, you will be able to have a beautiful house. If you have faith, you will have a nice car. You won't drive a Proton, you will drive a BMW. Black man's wheels. All right? If you have faith. Well, listen. Having a BMW is wonderful. And you buy and you take it and you go down the road. That's wonderful. Then comes the way. Monthly installments. Taking it to the shop for repairs. That's the way. See, we like the BM, but we don't like the way. I want to buy a house. Oh, you know, government is giving all those first buyers and all that to buy. $500,000. Government will put down payment for you. Wonderful. You go, you buy the house. Then comes the way. It's wonderful. I found the girl of my life. Pastor, we have set the date for the wedding. This is going to be great. Oh, you plan for the wedding. Everything is wonderful. Then comes the way. Huh? And so we get discouraged. We like the starting point. Oh, it's wonderful to be delivered from Egypt. Isn't this great? We are all going to leave our taskmasters and Pharaoh and everybody else. That's wonderful. We get out of Egypt. We get out of sin. We are delivered from our problems. Then comes the way. And it is the way that often make people discouraged. Pray for us, Pastor. So that we can have a baby. All right. Because so long, somebody never have a baby. All right, so now you get a baby. And then comes the way. I once told somebody, I said, oh, I thank God, man, I can sleep like a baby. And the guy said, you mean you wake up every 2 hourly? Then comes the way. Every 2 hourly. Baby starts screaming in the middle of the night. And your sleep is taken away. The way is the thing that people can become discouraged. You see, the thing about the Christian life that we need to understand is that I don't get to pick the way. I don't get to pick who will hurt me. Come on. If that person hurts me, okay, I can take it. But then we go, but that person, you know, Pastor, this one, I mean, the other, that fellow say anything, I don't care. But then this one hurt me, you know. Hit me really bad. See, you don't get to pick the kind of people that will hurt you along the way. Because God is leading the way. I don't get to say what hurts me. I don't get to choose what I must endure. In fact, when he said, take up the cross and follow me, I don't get to choose the cross. I don't say, I like this one. This one, like Pastor Stefan makes, it's so smooth. Nice and plain and nice. I cannot say, I don't want a brown one. I want a nice green cross in keeping with the environment. I don't get to choose the kind of cross, the kind of color, how heavy it is, I don't get to choose. When he says, pick up the cross, he's going to give me the kind of cross that I should carry. And I get to carry that cross. So I can become quite discouraged along the way. You agree with me? Very often it is hurting when dancing turns to doubting. When things begin to happen and messages are preached, when circumstances seem to turn against you, and then when you start turning against God, it means that we are very hurt. But you know what? The whole story is, it was not just that they got angry with God. What, forgive me for using this word, what pissed God off was where they got angry. See, they got angry along the Red Sea Road. Right beside them was the very evidence of their salvation. Was a stark reminder that God had delivered them completely. All along the way, God deliberately brought them along the Red Sea. You read the scriptures, it says, very often they would come back and then around the Red Sea again to remind them. In fact, the Old Testament's greatest delivery was the Red Sea. Comparison to the New Testament, it was Calvary. We use the Red Sea as a form of baptism. Taken across the Red Sea, baptized, the old is gone. That's why in many Chinese families they tell you, you go to church, okay, but just don't cross the river. Don't go and get water baptized. Go to church, okay, don't get water baptized. Because if you get water baptized, means no going back. This is unbelievers telling believers. Right? So the Red Sea was the greatest miracle for them. I mean, they walked on dry ground. It is not like muddy ground. It's not like the water just, it stood as a wall. What you saw with the recent movie Exodus was rubbish. It stood as a wall on either side, and they walked through on dry. God licked the ground dry, man, with his breath. Dried it up. They walked on dry ground right across the other side. It was the greatest deliverance. I mean, it's something even Hollywood found difficult to do. Unbelievable miracle. And God kept reminding them, listen, this is what you have gone through. Now listen, I want to say something to you today. At this place, the grumbling and the murmuring took place. That is the thing that God was very angry with. We have to be very careful about the pathology of murmuring. We can develop that. There are some people who will be constantly murmuring and grumbling no matter what you try to do. They always see a dark cloud to every silver lining. Everything is bad. You can take them to the best hotel, put them in the best room, then you ask them, how's the room, huh? Okay, lah, but the water takes so long to get hot. How about the swimming pool? Too cold. I mean, you compared to their house where they have to dip the bucket and pour water. And still, they will find fault. Everything, they will find fault. You can give them the best things in life and still they will find fault. In fact, they never are happy. They'll only be happy when they got somebody who will respond to their grumbling and make them feel bad. Then they feel happy they made somebody else bad. Feel bad. Yeah, that's the kind of thing that they are. Have you ever tried, you know, so hard to please certain people, and yet no matter what you do, they will still find fault? No matter what you do, you can, I mean, do everything possible in your human, you know, in your control to help them, to bless them, to do something to lift them up. You go out of the way just to please them. Can I say this to you? Please don't make your love so expensive. Because eventually, I'm saying this, eventually you're going to drive people away. The ones that love you, the ones that care for you. Isn't it funny? I have seen this. I'm sure all of you have seen this also. If not, then I'm the only weird one. People can be so mean to the ones that treat them so well. But to the ones that don't care for them and scold them, they treat them very well. Have you ever met people like that? I see one or two nodding your head. The rest of you dare not nod because they are sitting right beside you. Okay, right? No, I'm kidding, I'm kidding. No, no. I mean, you are usually mean to the people that are close to you. And that's bad. You have developed a pathology of murmuring and complaining. Like I said again, you know, don't make your love so expensive. Don't make it so expensive that people have to try so hard to earn your love. God tried everything. I mean, he delivered them with 10 mighty, mighty wonders in Egypt. Mighty signs and wonders. They saw it with their eyes. And then eventually he gets them through the Red Sea. This is the greatest deliverance, man. They now experience it. Before that, it was all judgment against the Egyptians. Judgment against the Egyptians. Nothing for them as yet. They never got any miracle as yet. Nothing, nothing yet. It was all against their enemies. God came hard time against the enemies. One plague after another. Finally, the firstborn of every every Egyptian home died. And then they were all now set free. Never experienced personal miracles. Now comes the time where God is going to show them his mighty hand. And he blows across the Red Sea for them to experience this miracle personally. So their first miracle is walking between two walls of water on dry land. And so now constantly they will have to walk along that the Red Sea road and talk about what great things they have done. In fact, that is the history of the Jewish nation, that they were supposed to repeat the story again and again to all their children. So you find it repeated many times, and you come into the book of Corinthians and you find the same thing, a repetition of how God led them through the Red Sea. And yet they all died. So they grumble against God. They complain against God. The second thing they grumbled against was the food. Every morning, same white stuff we go and collect. Every morning. Morning breakfast, manna. Afternoon, manna. Night, manna. Moses' wife had a cookbook on 1001 ways to cook manna. Everybody must buy. 1 million books sold overnight. Manna. But it was the stuff that fell from heaven. It was God's gift to them. See, some of us have never had stuff fall in our way. Never had stuff fall in our way. But we need to be grateful for the things that God drops in our path. We just don't see it. We take it for granted. We start grumbling and complaining about it. We need to have a grateful heart for everything. Do you know that God is an extremely grateful God? Let me prove it to you. In the book of Genesis, chapter 1, it starts like this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, verse 2, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the earth, and God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God began to separate the waters from the earth, and the earth was still nothing. And God said, I shared this in our Bible study, "It is good." There were no trees, there were no fish, there was no animals, there was nothing beautiful, there was no peacock, there was no nice birds and flowers, nothing. The earth was empty. He had just spoke light out. That's about it. Just light came in and nothing was created on the world. And God looked at this world and God said, "It is good. It is good." See, we want our gardens to be filled. We want the flowers to bloom. We want everything to be just perfect before we can say, "It is good." And when things don't happen like we think it ought to happen, we don't say, "Thank you, Lord." We have to learn in everything to give thanks unto the Lord. Come on. Amen. Every time, we are all Malaysians, right? We're Malaysians. You can go and have food at 3 a.m. in the morning, man. You can find somewhere to eat. Huh? We can get food anytime. How much food we throw away every day? In fact, I feel guilty. Wife will buy nasi lemak, she will tell the lady, "Put half rice." But they don't. They still put the whole complete thing. And then we have to throw away so much of the rice because we eat nasi lemak just for the sambal. So actually I said, "Can you just take away the rice and put sambal?" He said, "Cannot." You know? But we throw away. We throw away such a lot of food. Now, here's the thing. Are we grateful for the little things? If we want the coming year to be a great year, listen, we have to learn to be grateful for everything we now have. Learn to enjoy everything that you now have. I see Kevin and Kavita, we went to their home the other day. I said, you know, the baby just loves me. I carry the baby, goes to sleep. All my grandkids, all my children, I used to put them all to sleep. I have the gift to put them to sleep. That's why nowadays when I preach, you sleep. Some of you, please don't snore so loud, you're waking your neighbor up. All right. So the thing is, but when we were with them, kind of like, talking and carrying the kid. Now, oh, the baby wants to be carried all the time. Of course the baby wants to be carried all the time. Because the baby needs to be carried and you need to carry the baby because very soon she's not going to let you carry her. Now you can carry. Now she will allow you to sit in your lap. Very soon, don't want to carry anymore. Carry when you can. My mother-in-law used to say, when I carry our kids and all that, now carry, carry, carry. Yeah, because when the time comes, you think I can carry Jonathan now? He wish. Yeah, in other areas, carry, yeah, but this one cannot, right? So, but carry them, enjoy them. Love them. Love whatever you are going through. I thank God. You know what? I was sitting down preparing the message and I said this. You know, I thank God for my uncle and my auntie who slapped me when I went to ask them for money from my family. I was 8 years old. I've shared this with you before. Father asked to go borrow money. Go and borrow money. I come from a family of 11 children. Your mother know how to give birth, don't know how to provide for y'all. Whack, whack, whack. Walk home crying. Saying to myself, when I grow up, I will never borrow money from anybody. I'd rather starve and die as a small child. I'd rather starve and die than to borrow money from somebody. So, if they were alive today, I'd like to take them out and give them a fantastic meal. Because they did that, I can now say I've never borrowed money from anyone. I thank God for what they did for me. No, seriously. Sometimes you go through some really difficult times, and you need to thank God for them. I thank God for my teacher who said, you know, like you see in the Luck cartoon, if you can pass, I'll eat my shoe. You will amount to nothing in life. I thank God they said things like that. Of course, it hurt at that time. It was painful at that time. But I thank God because of what they have said caused me to go, I'd like to take them out now. In fact, now I can't afford to take them out. Right? To bless them, to let them know that God is a good God, and thanking Him for everything that we've gone through. I thank God I learned how to live by faith. I thank God my brother, as I was working together with him, never paid me anything. So I had to drink water and go and sleep. My brother as a senior, please, can I just say this to all of you? Would you all please take the associate pastor and his wife out for meals? Because everybody takes the senior pastor out. Associate pastor, nothing. How I know? I know because I went through it. He will go out with the members, have nice, I come back, he's smelling his fingers. Fish curry. Oh. I drink water and go and sleep. But I learned, but that, to me at that time it was not like sacrifice, but I learned, I thank him for teaching me to live by faith on my own, not depending on anyone, not asking for anything from anyone. Come on. These things help you. You thank God for them. They were the God dropped certain things. It seemed hard at the time for you to accept. At that time, it seemed hard. I never ever thought about him going out and all that. I said, well, this is my ministry. I have to learn how to live by faith. So I eat papaya until the color of my skin changed. I became more yellow than some of you. It literally become orangish in color because morning papaya, afternoon papaya, evening. How many of you know I had no problem going to the bathroom? Papaya and mango. Whoo! Until now I love them. It's not like I detest them. We detest this wretched food. What a thing to say. Then of course, you know, God saw that the light was good. God called the dry ground land, and he gathered the waters he called seas. Just land and seas. And God saw that it was good. Because God knows the future. He knows what's going to come out in the seas. He knows what's going to come out on the land. So this is a good setting for what's about to take place in my life. You are now facing land. You're facing nothing but stormy seas. It's good. Because God sees what's going to transpire in the near future. Can I hear an amen? Now comes the snakes. Now we don't like this part. But it is the Lord who sent the snakes. It's not like suddenly snakes began to appear. No, the Lord sent the snakes. See, when you bite God, God bites back. We don't like that part. But God knows how to bite back. He sent snakes. And the snakes began to bite them so that many of the Israelites died. We have to be very careful about what we say with our mouths. We all must understand that once words are spoken, we cannot take them back again. Yeah? We all must understand that. Words are very, very powerful. I often say, sometimes people say, oh yeah, I got, in a moment of anger, I said it. I say, yeah, no, please forgive me. Yes, can be forgiven. But we need to know that it's our anger and our blast, our expression of anger are two different things. Once you express it, it becomes terrible. It's like a shotgun. You take a shotgun, you blast somebody, and then you say sorry. Too late. Somebody already got hurt in the process. Come on. Amen? Life and death are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. If you start saying good things, this is where people take this and go to an extreme. Whatever you say, you will get. That's not what it is saying. But if we love our tongue and we know that we can bless people, we will enjoy the fruit of it. When you are nice to people, people will be nice to you. Can I hear an amen? Very simple little things that we learn in life. You are snared, caught by the very words of your mouth. So David prays this, set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Help me to watch the things that I am saying. Great ungratefulness expressed is one of the worst poisons. You know, one of the worst poisons. How can I expect people to keep coming to me when I bark everyone away? Huh? Cannot. So if we want this year to be a great year, listen, we have to learn to say, God, please help me to zip it up. They dug their own grave with their mouths, literally. All right? Now, their respect for God was gone. Their respect for God was gone. Because of the way, because what they wanted, they didn't get. We want meat, we want meat, we want meat. God said, okay, I'll give you meat. I'll tell you why. It is not good for you to eat meat. I give you the very best for your life. No, this is not what we want. We want meat. So God gave them meat. It says they ate and they died. God knows what's best for us. Come on. He is working all things together for good to those who love Him, called according to His purpose. Amen. Respect is a lost commodity today. Many parts of the world, respect is gone. God has given us certain guards, all right? One of the guards is our parents. Our parents. They help us along the way. They may have been hard. Like we say, we can question our parents' wisdom, but we never question their love for us. We think that they don't know what they are taught. Sometimes we want to do certain things. Our parents say, no, no, no. And we question their wisdom, but we never question their love. We know that they love us. Or at least we don't really feel it, but behind whatever they are saying is their love and concern for our well-being. Our parents, whether believers or unbelievers, we were their children. Come on, amen. I thank God, you know, when I ran away from home, just starting off in teenage years and all that, ran away from home, all, you know, that rubbish kind of thing, want to go spend time with my friends, take drugs, that kind of stuff. I thank God at 3 a.m. in the morning, my brother knocks on my friend's door. Of course, you know, my friend pretended that I was not there, but the fact that he came and knocked at the door told me that my father didn't say, I got 11 children, one fella died, don't care lah. He still came looking for me. My father's heart was still concerned about me. And God is still concerned. Come on, amen. God is still concerned. But respect for parents, that's the first thing, our parents. And then whatever they have taught us become our conscience. Conscience is now gone. Respect for parents is gone. They don't respect their parents anymore. And parents are afraid of their children. Whatever the children want, they give in. Because they don't want there to be war in the home, they say. Don't want there to be fighting in the home. So for peace sake, they let their children go to pieces. Huh? Am I speaking to somebody? Conscience. All the good things that are being taught are now eroded. No more good stuff being taught anymore. Begin to categorize it as being negative. As being, you know, you're old-fashioned. But it is the old-fashioned things that got us straight. Come on, amen. It's the old-fashioned things that kept us on the straight and narrow. Then we also got the police to keep us safe. But all respect for the police have also gone. Now, once all this is gone, then there is no more protection. People do that which is right in their own eyes. Churches begin to accept LGBT kind of thing. Everything goes now. Because now there is no more conscience, no more guards, nothing. They can disrespect authority. Everything is out the window. Respect is gone. And we need to have that. Once that happens, if we cannot respect people that we can see, how are we going to respect a God whom we cannot see? That's what John wrote. He says, if you say you love God whom you cannot see, and do not love your brother whom you can see. Basically what he's saying is, if you don't know how to show respect and honor and value people that you can see, how can you say you love God whom you cannot see? It's not possible. All right. So my message this morning is basically bitten but not beaten. See, they died. God sent poisonous snakes and they died. They were bitten and they died. But there was a group of people that got bitten, but they were not beaten. They got bitten, but they did not die. Now, almost every one of us, listen to me very carefully, almost every one of us have had close shaves with death. Almost everyone. I'm not ready yet, guys. I'm still going through. Get down. They're so in a hurry to get me off the stage. Almost every one of us. What did Gerard share just now? Where's Gerard? Okay, I thought you went for coffee. Shared about twice. Accident. Johnny, where's Johnny? Where's Johnny up there? Johnny. Bitten, but not beaten. Car total write-off. Just a couple of weeks ago. Total write-off. Bitten, but not beaten. Come on. Some feel like, you know, the marriage has gone. It's over with. You were bitten, but you're still alive. You faced many things in life. You were bitten. Your business did not work last year. You were bitten in your business, but you were not beaten. You are still alive. Come on. There are many things that should have beaten you up, but you're still alive. These people were bitten, but they were not beaten. Things happen in their lives. Certain things happen. You should have. I know for myself, so many times I should have died. I was bitten several times, but I'm not beaten. And because of that, I can face the coming year with great hope in my heart. You know how it comes about? When I come and I say, God. Now, this is something we all have to learn. We're sharing in the Bible study on Tuesday night, and I pray that more of you will come, where repentance and the forgiveness of sin must be preached in all nations. We have to come to a place like them and say, God, I'm sorry. I've not been living the kind of life I should have been living. I've been complaining against this person and that person. God, my mouth got me into trouble. If you want to get out of trouble, it's your mouth that will get you out of trouble. They say, if you can just learn to cut back on our mouths, most problems, 50%, they say, are caused by our mouths. 50% of the problems that are caused, how people lose marriages, people lose their jobs, people lose, you know, all kinds of things happen. They talk themselves out of the wealth of God. Many things happen because of their mouths. They curse instead of blessing. They talk themselves out of the mouth. So now what we've got to do is we've got to come back to God with our mouths and say, what has happened was wrong, God. I'm sorry, I repent. Come on, amen. Huh? And they came and they apologized to God and to Moses. Because, listen, there are many people after services, they go back and instead of having fried chicken, they have fried pasta. Goring the pasta. What do you think about the message? I think it was really wrong. I think it was too hard. No, I think. Nicely goring. Huh? They apologized to Moses. And yet, to God, we have sinned. Please pray for us. You know what makes Moses a great man? And I pray that God bring me to that place so that I will be able to pray for people who have hurt me, people who have said things against me, recognizing that that will make me a greater person. That will expand my heart. And Moses interceded. That's why Moses is Moses. When they said all these things against him and against God, and they said, please pray for us, Moses go, okay, I'll pray for you. And God turned away his anger. So we are hard pressed on everything. We are, in other words, he's saying, we have been bitten, but not beaten. Hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. I'm still alive. Always caring about in the body, the dying of our Lord Jesus Christ. The life of Jesus might also be manifested in my body. I thank God I have been bitten many times, but I am not beaten. This year is going to be a great year. Come on, amen. And Moses gave them something very simple. God said, Moses, this is what you do. You take brass, melted. Then I want it to be beaten, crushed, and made into the form of a serpent. What brass is not meant to be, it is now something else. Because this is a symbol of my son Jesus. That he will be melted down in the Garden of Gethsemane, broken blood, sweat drops of blood. Then he must be crushed, beaten, and made into something that he is not. He was made sin that I might be made the righteousness of God. Then I want you to put it on a pole and lift it up. And everyone who looks at it, you can come on up. Everyone who begins to look at that broken, bruised serpent, if they just have faith and turn their outlook in life, change the outlook for the coming year, looking towards Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. As we look and behold him, all the poison that has been in our system, in our family, in our businesses, let it all be taken out and nailed to the cross. Let it all come out of your system. Whatever has happened in the past has happened in the past. Lord, I now look to you as my salvation. Let it all be taken to the cross. Come on, amen. And we start living again. And they start walking across the border into the promised land. See, all these things begin to happen when we just turn our focus and say, Lord, I believe that all that has been happening, I was bitten, but I'm not going to be beaten. I'm going to let it go to the cross and let Jesus take care of it. Can I hear an amen? Stand with me, please. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.